you know, so just be prepared for that. But there was something that happened a couple times in the movie, and to me, it seemed like it was the theme. It seemed like it was the overriding theme of what I saw. If you can get one theme out of a three-hour movie, I sort of got one out of it. It was, and it seemed this was the theme of the whole thing. If you've seen it, you probably know what I'm talking about, and that is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Because in the middle of the movie, at one point in the movie, one person does this and another person does that, and they sacrifice their life. And it's I don't want to give. Oh boy, I better not give away the movie. Some people haven't seen it, right? So I'm not going to tell anybody what it is. But it's I'm not going to tell you who it was. But it's sacrifice. And sometimes that we don't see that as a benefit. We don't see that as something that God has blessed us with, the opportunity to sacrifice, the opportunity to suffer for Him. Let me put it that way. And when I'm talking about suffering, I'm not talking about the pains of not entering into the rest of God, that we're trying to take care of all of our needs ourselves. That's not the suffering of Christ that I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the suffering that Christ said, you enter in to my suffering. You enter in to my sacrifice. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking, the same Apostle Paul kept saying, your God is going to supply all your need according to His riches and glory, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus, is the same Paul who said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it is not I who live, it is Christ that lives in me. He entered into that sacrifice. And to Paul, he thought of it as a blessing. It was a blessing for him to do that. In fact, one of the things that he said, if you look in the Amplified Version of the Bible in the third chapter, the 10th verse, you look at it, he says, it is my determined purpose, number one, that I might know Him, okay? Come close to Him, enter into Him, that I might come to know Him. And the second thing I want you to know, that is my determined purpose, is that I would know the power of His resurrection. We talked a little bit about that on Easter Sunday, the power of His resurrection, that He gives us life, the benefit of God's life, the benefit of God's presence, okay? He says, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, but we sort of stop there many times because we don't know if we want to say the next line in the song as much as we want to sing the first line. The next line in the song says, and the fellowship of His sufferings. How in the world can we experience the fellowship of His sufferings? Well, one of the ways that I think we can see that it is experienced is when you come to the place where whatever you do for God and you receive persecution for that, you enter into that fellowship. And sometimes we get that. Sometimes we get the suffering of Christ. We get the persecution that comes with walking with Jesus. You don't think that you would be persecuted? Get on Facebook. Get on Facebook and make some comments about Jesus, especially what the Word of God has to say about Jesus, and you'll find out persecution comes really quick, really quick. You know, if you get on Facebook at some point and you write something like this, I love Jesus, and He is the only way to salvation to all those who believe. You write that on Facebook, okay? Wait and see what kind of responses you're going to get. You're going to get some people are going to like it a lot. You're going to get some people that aren't going to like it much at all. So we want to enter in to hit the fellowship of His sufferings, all right? And that's all a part of entering into God's rest. You want to know why the reason that most of the time we're not at rest is because we're trying to make life easy for us. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle to make life easy. It's a struggle to always get what you want. It's a struggle to always feel like you get everything that you want. How many of you, at Christmas time, man, when you go to that, when you were a kid and you went to that Christmas tree and you'd go to that Christmas tree and you'd start tearing those gifts, you already had in your mind things that you wanted. And if you didn't get everything that you wanted, something was not right with the universe. And you actually felt like sometimes when you didn't get what you want, you were suffering, okay? You were sacrificing because you didn't get everything that you want. Well, sometimes we don't always get what we want. And Jesus even said, they said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. There's going to be issues that are going to come up. You're going to tribulate. I want to see everyone tribulate for just a little bit. Let's go tribulate, okay? No, you don't have to go tribulate because you're going to experience tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because I've overcome it. I've already overcome that. And so sometimes we just need to embrace the fact that as a Christian believer, we're going to be persecuted. As a Christian believer, we're going to suffer. And one of the reasons I'd already planned this sermon topic before, but it was just kind of confirmed over this last week in Sri Lanka. Does anybody know what happened in Sri Lanka? About 300 Christians were killed and all the different bombings that were taking place all over Sri Lanka. And those people suffered. Why? Because they were worshiping Christ on Easter Sunday. And all these different explosions and bombs that went off, and people lost loved ones. They lost family members. Now, we don't experience that as much in this country, although sometimes we do. Because we just now, this over the weekend, in the synagogue, some of our Jewish friends experienced another shooting attack. And it seems like every week something else is going on. Well, God said it was going to happen. He said in the last days, perilous times are going to be coming. Men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, arrogant, haters of that which is good. And he says that's going to happen. But what does he say when suffering comes, when the persecution comes? Be of good cheer, for great is your reward. Great is your reward. I want to read something that I think is an absolute must. Because, see, I believe God blesses his people, and he wants to bless his people. But we need to stop trying to make things happen. And I'm not going to try and make, you know what? I'm not going to be fake to try to make things happen. I just want to let the Spirit of God work through me. And whatever he does, he does. As long as I'm... Here's the word. See, God didn't call me to be a success. If God had called me to be a success, guess what? I'm going to be a success. But you know what? God didn't call me to be successful. You know what he called me to be? Faithful. Faithful in the midst of suffering. Faithful in the midst of persecution. Ready to do the work in the will of God. And sometimes God's going to bless me with abundance. And you know what Paul says? He says, I know how to be abundant. I know how to live in abundance. And I know how to live in lack. I know, no matter, you know, I can do all things through Christ, he says. You know, I can do all things through Christ. And sometimes I have to sacrifice myself for what God wants in my life. And I have to sacrifice for the building of the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes I just have to do something that God wants me to do, even though I don't want to do it. But I know he wants me to do it. And I've got to, and that's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. You know what? The Bible says that we ought need to come in, when we come into his temple, we need to give the sacrifice of praise. You ever heard of that phrase? The sacrifice. You want to know why it's called a sacrifice of praise? You may have your own reason. I'll tell you exactly why I think it is. Because sometimes you don't want to. It's a sacrifice. I don't know about you, but there's some Sunday mornings when I get up in the morning and I'm just walking around the house looking like a zombie, and I go in and the dog's sitting there whining because she wants something to eat, that I don't want to get up and go into church. I want to go back to bed. But God calls me to love him. And if that means I have to get up a little bit early, so be it. If that means I have to put in time in prayer, so be it. If that means that God's called me to witness to somebody who I really don't want to witness to, because I'm afraid that it's going to be uncomfortable, because I'm afraid it's not going to get me what I want, because I'm afraid or fearful or mindful of the fact that, you know, this isn't going to be fun. It's okay. I'm not against fun. God wants us to have fun, just like I want my grandson to have fun. I want my grandson to have fun all the time, but he can't have fun all the time. I want him to have fun all the time, but he can't have fun all the time. Sometimes he's got to work. Sometimes he's got to go to school. Sometimes he's got to do what he doesn't want to do. I almost had to pry him out of my car one time when we were dropping him off to school because he wanted to stay with Grandpa. Why can't we go to a movie? Can't we go? No, you've got to go to school. But we're like that sometimes. No, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't. And God says, well, you know what? That's what I've called you to do. That's what I've called you to do. I'm not going to stop you if you decide not to do it. But this is what I've called. You want to be blessed? Here's the blessing of giving and sacrifice. And that dreaded word, the S word. What's the S word? Suffering. To know the fellowship of his sufferings. Let me read to you what Jesus did. And because Jesus did it, we don't have to go through what Jesus went through. But he did call us to have the same mindset. Okay, let's look at the scripture. In Philippians, I'm going to go there in chapter 2. Now, this isn't going to be one of those, this feels so good. This is going to be one of those tree trimming sermons, okay, that we need to hear sometimes. Where you get trimmed, you know, like a tree. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. But you know what? If we embrace this, then we'll stop worrying about whether everything goes our way all the time, and we'll just embrace what God brings our way, and then we'll overcome what isn't of God. We'll overcome that. But we'll embrace the fact that, you know, not everything's going to go our way. But you know what? He still called us to be overcomers, and we can still overcome anything that may come our way. Because he did. And he says, you know what? I did it. I give you the power to do it. See, Jesus identified with us on the cross. When he came, he identified with us in his death so that we can identify with him in his resurrection. But look what he says. In chapter 2 of Philippians, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He says, be like-minded, be of the same mind, of one accord. And he goes on and says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the others better than themselves. In other words, look upon your brother just as good as you are and love them. He goes on and says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. But be watching and looking for the interest of other people, not just for your interest. It's not just about you. Everyone says, it's not just about me. Who is it about? It's about Jesus. And if we make it about him, guess what? He'll make it about us. But we've got to make it about him. We make it about him, he makes it about us. But if we make it about us, guess what? If you try to increase, guess what? You're going to end up decreasing. But if you decrease, then he'll increase you. In fact, John the Baptist had that formula. I'm going to tell you about that formula in just a moment. But let's get back to chapter 2. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And look at verse 5. This is excellent. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is the attitude. This is the mindset that we're supposed to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We get to think like Jesus. Aren't you excited? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great because we can think like Jesus, the awesome, powerful God. I'm going to think like he thinks. And how does he think? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let me tell you what that scripture really means when you go back to the original Greek. What it really means, because it's kind of confusing the way it's worded, what it means is he didn't think he needed to maintain his deity, even though he had the right to do so. It doesn't feel like it says that, but really, when the original Greek, that's what it says. He, instead, what does it say? He didn't feel like he had to maintain it. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled. This is a sacrifice on our part many times, is to humble ourselves and realize that the power that is inside of us is power indeed. But it all comes from God. And it's all for the glory of God. It's not for our glory. Now, don't get me wrong. There's coming a day when we will bask in the glory of God. And we do bask in the glory of God when we're obedient, because the world sees that. And the glory of God rests upon us. But it is for His glory, not ours. He says, let this mind be in you, who made himself no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death. He came even to the point of death. When the devil offered him the kingdoms of this earth, when the devil went to Jesus and offered him the kingdoms of this earth, the reason why it was a temptation, because it was a temptation for Jesus. Jesus was tempted in the desert. It was a temptation, although Jesus did not accept it or grasp a hold of it. It was a temptation because the devil had the right to give him exactly what he had offered him. I will give you all these kingdoms on the earth if you'll just bow down and worship me. It's all yours. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you don't even have that to give. No, he could have given it to him in that life. He could have made him a king. Jesus could have taken over the Roman Empire. He could have overthrown the whole thing and been the greatest world ruler that has ever been or ever will be. But he said, it's written, you shall worship the Lord God and only Him. Only Him. He gave it up so that He could live a life of suffering. And when we think of Jesus' suffering, let me just tell you something. Jesus' suffering isn't just when He went to the cross. That was terrible. Don't get me wrong. That was horrible. It wasn't when He got scourged. That wasn't the only suffering that Jesus experienced. You know, we think of Jesus experienced suffering. That wasn't the only thing that He suffered. You know, that was just the culmination of the paying for the sins. But you've got to remember something. Jesus had lived long before Abraham lived. And Jesus, the Son of God, had lived long before that. He did not have to walk through doors until He decided to come on this planet. Can you imagine what it would be like being God Himself, who could think His way to Jupiter and Mars or wherever He wants to go? He can think His way anywhere He wants to go, and yet He comes down on this planet and puts on skin, and then He has to work for a living. Can you imagine what He had to give up to do this? His right to go anywhere He wants to go in the blink of an eye. And now He has to walk everywhere. And now He doesn't even have a bed to lay His head on. You know, people are coming and saying, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Jesus knew what was in most people who said that. You know, a lot of people who said, I'll follow you wherever you go. You know, one of the reasons why they like to follow people is because they think they're going to go shoot to the stars. And so, hey, I want to follow them because I can see that they're going to rise. And when they rise, I'll rise too. You know, even James and John, you know, talking to, getting their mom to go to Jesus for them. You know, hey, mom, go ask Jesus if we can sit on the right and on the left hand. And so they go to talk to Jesus, or she goes to talk to Jesus. Jesus, would you let my son one sit on the right and one sit on the left? And Jesus speaking to him, saying, You don't know what you're asking for. For one thing, it's not mine to give. And even if it was mine to give, can you drink of the same cup that I'm going to drink of? Are you willing to drink of the same cup? What was the cup that Jesus was telling them they were going to drink? It wasn't the cup of wealth in this life. It wasn't the cup of comfort. It was the cup of suffering. Yeah, you will drink of it. You're going to drink of it. But sitting on my right or left is not for mine to give. You are going to drink of it, though. See, Jesus, even though the apostles were kind of weirded out many times, said stupid things, did things, tried to get their mommy to get Jesus to let him sit on right next to him in heaven. He knew what was in them, and he knew that once his spirit filled their heart, they'd be unstoppable. And they would stop worrying about such silly things, like being number one. Instead, they would be willing to just give their life. You can't imagine the suffering that Jesus did to come and put on skin and walk for 33 years of his life, having to open up doors now, having to work as a carpenter for 30 years of his life, or as much as whenever he started with Joseph and starting to do that kind of carpentry work, having to, you know, eat the stuff we eat, having to live the life that we lived when he could have been up in heaven in all of his glory and power. But he did it because he had a plan. And he sacrificed like no one could imagine sacrificing. You say, well, yeah, Jesus did that, but he doesn't want us to do that. Is that right? Is it totally true? I mean, I know he wants to bless us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't want to bless us, but I want to tell you something. Blessing comes from suffering for Christ. It's a blessing. When Peter met his end, he was crucified upside down. What did he say? It's an honor for me to die like my Lord. It's an honor. John, you think John had an easy life? No, he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was basically on a rock, living out his life in a prison, basically. James, I believe, was thrown from the pinnacle of a temple. Paul was boiled, or was beheaded. I'm sorry, he was beheaded. I think it was maybe Thomas who was boiled. I'm not sure. I get them mixed up sometimes because there's so many horrendous things that they went through. And what more can I say about people of great faith who followed after Christ and through faith obtained the promise through faith? Yet they had to sacrifice and suffer sometimes. So what's the benefit? He says, when people persecute you, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is your reward. Great is your reward. And you can stop working to make everything happen all the time. Enter into his rest, understanding he's going to take care of all your needs. He's going to make sure everything happens that needs to happen. And in the meantime, you get to suffer for the cause of Christ. What a deal, right? What was it when Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus, and he sent his servant, one of his disciples, to go get him. He said, you tell him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. That wasn't a downer message. That was an upper. He says, he's going to suffer great things for me. He's going to experience the blessings like he never could imagine the blessing. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us? I'll tell you what it means for me. I don't know about what it means for you. I don't have to sit here and make things happen. If things don't happen, guess what? If someone doesn't like me because of my witness in Christ, you know what? I don't care. Oh, I care, but I don't care. I care, but I don't really care. I can't care. If I've got to give my life, what a blessing. What a blessing it would be to be martyred for Christ. Now, I don't necessarily want it. I'm not sitting there hoping that, you know, that things change and they drag me in front of a council and I get beheaded. I'm not sadistic, okay, by any means. I believe in the blessings of God, and I think God's going to watch over me and take care of me. But if the time comes when I have to make a sacrifice for the Lord, then you know what? It's my honor to do so. It's my blessing to do so. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. It's not my life. I don't get to live my life. I'm living His life. His life through me, and by that, I am crucified with Him. I die into His death so that I might live in His resurrection. And even in the book of Hebrews, the chapter of faith, where it talks about people who had great faith, their great faith led them to refusing comfort in this life. Instead, they would rather be a witness for God and suffer the consequences for that. Can you imagine the blessing? I remember going out, and when I first got saved, I really got saved, okay? I had been smoking marijuana that night when I got saved. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was 21 years old, and it was January 3rd, 1981. And I was sitting at home in my room. I'd probably gone to school. I was going to the University of Southern Indiana, and I was going to school, and I got saved that night. I was watching the 700 Club. You ever hear of the 700 Club? It's still going. I think Pap Robertson's like 700 or 800 years old now. He's like, you know, he's like Methuselah. Is he still alive? I think he's still on the program. He's going to live forever. And they had on a group, the rock group, two of the main guys of the rock group Kansas. You ever heard of the group Kansas? And they were on there, and they were giving their testimony of how God had saved them. You know, dust in the wind. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind, dust in the wind. You know, I love that song. You can sit there and almost do the harmonies myself. You hear that? Dust in the wind, dust in the wind. I love that song. They were it when I was growing up, when I was in high school. They were it. We loved them, okay? And they had the two main members of Kansas were on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson, and he was talking to them, and they kept talking about how they had a relationship with Christ, how they could come into His presence, you know, and talk with Christ and talk with the Lord, and the Lord would talk with them and speak to them. And I remember that night, I was sitting there. I was already high. I'd already had probably something to drink. My friends had already gone home. It's like 2 in the morning. That was like the only time, you know, that was when the 700 Club came on, 2 in the morning. You know, I can't imagine that they think they'd reach too many people at that hour, but I happened to be watching at that time, and I saw them, and I said in my heart, Lord, you know what? They seem so genuine. If You're real, I want to know You. I want to know You. If this is real, I want to know it. And I want to tell you something. There's something in my heart changed. I mean, I was like the Grinch, and my heart changed when I said that. And Pat got on there and said, if you want to know the Lord, you want to call this number. And I called the number, and I talked to them, and I prayed. They prayed with me over the phone. And I mean, the next day, I dumped the weed out into my toilet, flushed it down the toilet. And I didn't know exactly what had happened to me. Something had changed in me. And my roommate came in, and I sat there, and I just, I just received the Lord last night. And my roommate was a pastor's son, so I thought he knew what I was talking about. He thought I was nuts. And he was a pastor's son. He said, yeah, I received the Lord. I don't know, you know, what it means, but I'm not interested in, I don't want to smoke right now. I don't want to drink right now. You're sure? Yeah. And he just sort of looked at me, and about a week later, he'd moved out. I guess he couldn't handle being living in the same apartment with a straight arrow. And he was a pastor's son. I said, well, I guess there's different pastor's sons, I guess. I don't know. And I remember that was at that moment, all I cared about was finding out what it meant to know Christ. That's all I cared about. I began reading, and I would get into the Word of God, and I'd be in my apartment like 4 hours, sitting there studying, and I thought I was in there for 10 minutes. I mean, it would go like this. God was starting to fill me up with His Word, and I realized that the things of this life, although they're wonderful and they're nice, and it's okay to have them, it's okay to buy nice things, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. It's okay to have nice things. God will bless you with nice things. But that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to identify with Christ in death and in His resurrection and live your life for Him, not for you. For what it's worth. And I'm not saying that you can't do this or you can't do that. If God's calling you to do this or do that, do this or that. But what I'm saying is that there's a level of sacrifice that I think a lot of believers don't want when God says, embrace me. And sometimes that may call us into a place of persecution. Sometimes that may call us into a place where we have to give up what we want and accept what He wants. And this is the crazy thing. That is a blessing. That's a blessing. Just want to read another scripture and then we're going to close. I mentioned to you about the Apostle John. Not the Apostle John, I'm sorry. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful minister, powerful preacher. Everyone was coming out to John the Baptist. Even the Pharisees were coming out to John the Baptist to see him. Even those that hated him. You know, even so much so when they'd come, he said, what are you vipers coming out here for? What are you coming out here for? Do you think you can escape? you vipers. John the Baptist started ministering, of course, and he recognized Jesus, and he said, this one, I'm not even worthy to even unloose his sandal. But there was a point after Jesus was baptized, and he was out. Jesus took his disciples, and they were out preaching somewhere, and John the Baptist was still out preaching in another place. And they noticed Jesus was preaching and his disciples, and they said, that guy out there that's preaching, John the Baptist's disciples, looked over and saw that guy out there, he's preaching, and they're all going to him. They're all going to him. They're all gathering around him, and he looked at his disciples, and he said these words, and it's something that I think that we forget we have to live by. He said, they're all going to Jesus. And John looked over there and said, He must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. And see, that's God's mathematics. See, He's got a new math. Much newer than the math that we've got in the world. It's the new math. Jesus increases. We decrease. He who is first will be last, and he who's last will be first. And we don't like to embrace that because sometimes it doesn't fit in with our theology, a blessing. And in reality, that's when we are blessed because we enter into, we stop worrying about us and we start living for him. Jesus must increase and we must decrease. And there's blessing in that. The burden of the ministry is no longer my responsibility. It's Jesus, because that's about him. It's not about me. I'm not Billy Graham. I never will be Billy Graham. Don't want to be Billy Graham. It's Jesus that has the burden of ministry. And he's going to do what he's going to do. I don't have to worry about it. I can enter into that rest. And if that means that I suffer for something, for the kingdom, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. He gets more, I get less. Even to the point where it's no longer I who lives, it's Christ living in me now. Oh, that I might get there. I'm not there, folks. I'm not there. I still worry about things. And it's a sin, what I worry about. It's a sin. I have to go to God and ask Him to forgive me. Because, you know, it's not about me making sure, you know, I've got to buy a water softener. Can't afford a water softener. I can't afford the payment plan of the water softener. But God's going to provide. And if He doesn't provide, I get to drink hard water until He does. A very small thing to suffer so that I might enter into the rest of God. Stop worrying about everything. Stop worrying about my vehicles. Stop worrying about my house. You know what? If I can't keep the weeds off of my patio, so what? Don't like it, don't come to my patio. We'll sit out front and have coffee. I've got to stop worrying about the things of this world. Start living for Christ. Let Him increase, I get to decrease. Let Him increase, I get to decrease. If God blesses me with something, fantastic. It doesn't surprise me. God loves to bless His people. But if somebody wants to hate me because I stood up for Christ, so be it. If somebody wants to hate me because I stand up for things that I stand against the fleshly things of this world, so be it. Because it's Christ is the reason to live. He must increase, we decrease. I'm going to stand to your feet for just a moment. I just want to pray as we get ready to enter into worship. I just want us to stand up for just a second. I just want us to raise our hands to the Lord. Just raise your hands to the Lord. We're going to close in worship, but I just need to pray. I need to just proclaim something over all of us right now. Lord God, You increase, we decrease. Lord God, You are the high, holy, most righteous, and You came to live inside of us, and You've given us that opportunity to be Your sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we thank You for that. We praise You for that. But Lord, it's about You. We lift our life up to You. We ask that You would take us where You've called us to. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to fulfill the ministry that You've called us to fulfill, that You would take us and lead us into the places we need to go. Regardless of what it may cost us, we want to live for You, Lord. We ask that You would fill us up to the full, the anointing of God upon our life, that we stop fighting and working to please You, and stop fighting and working to make everything right when You already have done it, and we just need to rest in You. And Lord, if there's suffering that's on the horizon, may we be ready to walk through it as one who goes right through the fire, not consumed by it, but through it, without even a smell of smoke upon us. And as we do, we'll experience the extreme blessings of Your kingdom. Lord, we give You praise for that. This night, give us a new revelation that we have the mind of Christ, that even though we may think we deserve better, and we do, we will do what You want us to do. We will do what You call us to do. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.